Does the phrase Y2K send a shiver down your spine? Did your parents empty out their bank accounts on December 31st, 1999 and stash that cash in a post-apocalypse bunker? If you sang the Prince song 1999 at the top of your lungs with your high school or college buddies as the countdown to the new millennium loomed large, you might be a Xennial, and we are too. Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Danny.
And today on Generation In Between, in case you haven't guessed yet, we are revisiting that scary and exciting time in our lifetimes that was the start of the new millennium and the Y2K angst that accompanied it. Yes, we're taking it back to Y2K. Danny.
That was a very fun, like, radio announcer voice just now.
Yeah,
I was like, taking it back to Y2K. I love it.
I feel like I need one of those soundboards with, like, all those ridiculous sounds.
Like
effects.
Radio DJ,
yeah, like meh, 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 yes. Or whatever. Like, yeah, we'll have to see if we can insert something like that in the future. Well, for I know some of our listeners may not have even been on this planet yet.
Hooray.
At the turn of the millennium, and this will just be so much learning for you all today. For those of us that were, I hope you enjoy kind of going back with us to this time, whatever generation you're part of. So, Danny, let's just start. I'm going to ask you, and I have my story, too, and I think we've both told little bits of this in the past already. What were you doing on New Year's Eve, 1999, going into the year 2000?
Okay. So, I was in college. It was my, let me do math, it was my sophomore year of college. Mm-hmm. I was home for Christmas, but my really good sorority sister friend was home in Mississippi, which was just a few hours from me. So I drove up to spend New Year's Eve with her. And a couple was her and her boyfriend and a friend of his, a couple of her like hometown peeps.
Okay.
And excuse me. It's very appropriate we're talking about this today.
Oh my God.
Because, well, we're filming a few episodes today.
Yes.
So, like, you may hear this story more than once. But we had a cast party for the show I was in last night, which then went into an after party at a bar. Mm-hmm. P.S. I'm 43 years old and don't do that anymore.
Danny, and I am tell paying. The listeners what time you got home last
night.
Oh,
no.
Tell them.
2:30.
Who
guys,
are you?
What time did I get up today? 6:30. So, bad adulting.
This on the other side, it's, you know, it's a cast party.
It's fine. This obviously doesn't happen all the time, correct?
Exactly.
So I am, like, literally struggling today. And it's all my fault, 1,000%. Do I regret it? No. But it is, well, a little, because I have a headache. I don't regret the time. I may regret that last drink I had. So anyway, PSA. When you're 43, don't act like you're 23. Okay. So I was drinking with my friends at somebody's house. We didn't go out.
This was 1999.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Got it. Going back. Because she was drinking with some friends at a house last night, guys. It's so hard to tell the difference between college Danny and modern day Danny.
Oh,
they're
no,
like
it's
the
not.
Same person.
I'm not.
It's so crazy, you
I
guys.
Know. Thank God I'm not. Oh, I hope I'm not. Okay. We didn't go out. Like, actually, I don't remember if we were at her house or her boyfriend's house. Anyway, we stayed there. And I want to say we didn't go out for that very reason, because it was 1999.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So basically that's, we just hung out there, and I remember the countdown. It was kind of like, we didn't really take it that seriously because we were 19, 20,
sure.
21, whatever. We were just like, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Like, back to business. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. I mean, it wasn't anything elaborate. I mm-hmm. guess I had fun. It wasn't some epic New Year's. Did you have an epic New Year's?
No, not really. Like,
oh,
this
wait.
Is that story.
This is the cherry vodka story.
This is the cherry vodka story.
Man, that's another appropriate story to tell on the day, I feel like this. So.
Yeah. It's so, same thing, hanging out at friend's house. But see, I was still in high school. I was a junior. And for those of you that already heard this story, I will tell the abbreviated one. I can't remember. I think it was maybe on a trivia episode where we talked about alcohol or something. I don't remember. But anyway,
which is also appropriate to say during
exactly
the story.
During the story, we don't remember when it was, but it's somewhere back in the archives, everyone. But yes, so I went to hang out with some friends. My boyfriend, who was in college, was back, but you know, my dad was of the mind that you're not going to stay the night anywhere. You're going to come home. But my mom didn't want me driving, appropriately so, after midnight.
Correct.
So therefore, that meant that my dad was going to drop me off and pick me up, which was just sheer horror,
right,
being a junior in high school.
Correct.
And I was so offended by this that for some reason, me, who had really never had a drink before, I'm sure I had here or there, like, with friends, decided that I was going to play higher, lower, red or black cards with cherry vodka. And being in a very small body at the time, I would, as a guesstimate, I probably took 7 or 8 shots before
Katie.
I even stood up.
Okay, let's stop for a second. Don't do that, guys.
Let's acknowledge that that's not funny.
That's awful. Okay, I didn't do that last night.
Thank goodness.
Jeez.
I would guess. Now, again, this is however many years ago, 25 years ago. But I'm pretty sure, yeah. So that put a stop to my drinking. This was probably 10 o'clock at night.
Oh.
So leading up to midnight, I just remember being freaked out because my dad was going to be picking me up.
So you were more freaked out about your dad than you were Y2K.
Absolutely.
Checks.
And so was everyone else at the party. They were scared of my dad
they're like,
coming
oh my
to
God.
Pick me up, especially my boyfriend at the time. And I did end up getting super sick. I was okay, but was sick for at least like a day. And I did get home safely because my dad drove me
thank
home
goodness.
And was safe in my bed. So thanks, Dad. But yeah, I do remember when I started to feel better the next evening or so, January 1st, where I was coming out of it wondering about the Y2K and kind of being like, hey, and this wasn't the day where you could pick up your cell phone and just scroll through Facebook or Twitter or even the news feeds. Like you would have had to like look at a newspaper or look it up on your dial-up computer or whatever. And kind of being like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Like, is the world still standing? What happened? And basically it had. So basically, I'm going to give the definition of what this Y2K angst was, but Danny, I'm just curious, like in your own terms, what do you recall it being?
Yeah, I do think we talked about this on trivia.
We must have. Yeah,
I remember answering this. What I remember it being was they were very worried. I say they. The world was worried.
Yes.
About software. That because everything was starting to be digitized, right?
Right.
And mostly with like banking and stuff, I think was the big scary thing was when the year changed from 19 whatever to all of a sudden the first two numbers being different. That was going to mess everything up.
Yep.
That's my super technical explanation of what
basically,
I remember.
Basically, yes. Yeah. And it was a real fear. So we'll get into that. So Y2K, do you know what that's short for?
Year 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I didn't know that.
Oh my God, Katie.
I read that and I was like, that makes sense.
I was like,
I guess
wait.
I've never seen it all like spelled out before.
I was like, oh my God, am I wrong?
Or maybe
like, is it
I
that
knew
basic?
At the time and I forgot. Anyway, old brain. So the term year 2000 bug, also known as the millennium bug and abbreviated Y2K, referred to potential computer problems which might have resulted when dates used in computer systems moved from the year 1999 to the year 2000. So essentially, in the early days of electronic computers, which we're talking like mid, 1950s, 1960s, memory was really expensive and hard to come by. So to save space, programmers would abbreviate, and instead of using a 4-digit year, they just used 2 digits.
Hmm.
So they would use the final two. So
right.
98 was recognized as 1998 and so on. So the fear was that when it went to 00, that the computers wouldn't know what 2 digits to put in front of that for everything that had been, you know, programmed up to that point. And of course, by 1999, we know nearly everything in the world was running on computers.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about just a niche group of information. We're talking about everything. So you mentioned the banks. So there were these gigantic systems like banks, utilities, governments,
yeah,
right, that were on this type of coding.
Hospitals.
Yeah. That's a big one. And even smaller everyday things like temperature control in your house, connecting to the internet. You know, these kind of little things that had become part of everyday life were also connected. And there wasn't like an easy fix for it either, because as computers were developing so quickly, there wasn't like one system that everyone was using. There were best practices like this two-digit coding, but not all of them were connected. So people were sort of building their systems in silos in this race to get things computerized. So what maybe like banks or even an individual bank used wasn't necessarily connected to what another bank was using, was not necessarily connected to what the government was using, and so on. So they were these individual kind of computer systems. So it's not like you could go in and do one fix.
Right.
It was all of these layered systems. So there was no easy way to do it. So there's all these little stories of sort of when it was dawning on people, oh, this could be a problem. And it was before 1999, but not necessarily like that far before. Some of the bigger pushes were happening in the early 90s, 1995. But there was this computer guy known as Stuart Chiffet. I guess he was big in coding. And in early 1999, it kind of dawned on him like how far reaching this could be.
Oh, I remember watching an interview with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you know this story?
No.
About that? Okay. So he got a credit card in the mail that had an updated expiration or something like that, but it gave him an expiration date of 1000.
Oh.
And he was like, oh, that's kind of silly. And then he was like, wait, that's because it didn't know it should be 2000. Oh. Wait, this could be connected to all these other things. Now, 1999 is a little late to the party on this because there were people working on this beforehand, right. But that's just one example of like these brilliant minds being like, oh, crud. Yeah. Do you remember anything from the interview you saw
No,
with him?
I like remembering seeing an interview with him talking about like that it was going to be a problem, like a big deal.
Yeah. And so, of course, then the fear is that, okay, the clocks, when they turn, and obviously around the world, it turns January 1st at different times, actual physical times, that all the computer systems would just fall into mass confusion.
Yeah.
Nothing would operate. There was a fear of mass power outages, alarm systems going down.
Forgot that.
Internet systems failing, cell phones, if you had them, not working, transportation systems not working. Basically, that just everything would fall into this chaos and hysteria. And then the kind of unspoken side of that is that then bad people might take advantage of that.
Right.
You wouldn't be safe and your money would be gone and you wouldn't be able to get gas and, you know, whatever else. So, you know, that was the fear. So it was a real threat.
Yeah.
Right. So governments around the world were basically partnering with businesses years ahead of this. And some companies were way ahead of the curve. So I found this information that by 1995, the New York Stock Exchange, which has a lot of skin in this game, by the way, had completed a 7-year project. So they started in 88 to correct all of its systems.
Dang.
The dates in its systems at a cost of $30 million, which I don't think is that bad for a 7-year project. But most organizations at that point had not even started.
Yikes.
They were like ahead of the curve. And then in October 1998, so again, not that far ahead of time, the U.S. government passed the Year 2000 Information Readiness Disclosure Act. So that was to encourage companies to sort of share information where they were at, maybe best practices that were working with them, and just sort of get resources and encourage companies to get ahead of this and take this threat seriously. 2 months after that, the United Nations did something similar at the end of 1998, basically saying like, hey, we're recognizing this problem. We kind of all got to come together here to get this fixed. And so research from Gartner estimates that the cost of this Y2K remediation, which people did have to go in and physically fix, was about $300 to $600 billion to actually do this. So in some cases, the fix was to replace outdated hardware or software, kind of like an update that you do to your phone or your computer. So it wasn't too bad. In other cases, depending on the system, because as we mentioned, everybody was on something different, it would be rewriting code, replacing code, testing of hardware, relying on computer chips. Like, some of it went so deep.
Yeah.
And I was reading about different coders during this time. I mean, they were working around the clock.
Oh, I'm sure.
Some of them. Like, and not even sure that they were going to make it on time.
Dang.
There was so much that had to
How
be rewritten.
Stressful.
Very, very stressful.
Like, literally, they're like, the world could fall apart because of me.
Yeah. So, like, give me another coffee and I'll just keep going.
Oh, stress.
Or, like, if you're, like, coding and you realize you did it wrong or something and had to start over. Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine.
The pressure.
And so, I know you're going to be shocked, Danny.
Uh-oh.
But it wasn't just governments.
Oh, what was it all the time?
To prepare for Y2K, the Y2K scare reeked of capitalism.
There it is. We made it pretty far into this
pretty
episode.
Pretty far, yeah. Paired with fear,
yeah,
which is a lucrative business to be in.
Scare
now,
tactics.
I am not saying that Y2K was a hoax. I think we've established that it was not. But there was some predatory behavior on the fear of it that did arise, right? So there's an array of things that I found. Some of these I remembered. Some of these I don't remember from the time. But there was a company called Monarch Home Video. Just going to go out on a limb and guess that they're not probably in business anymore. A commercial film producer. And they released a Y2K themed product that was a 1 hour family survival guide on video that you could buy. Actor Leonard Nimoy from Star Trek.
No way, Spock.
Yes, yeah. Spock. He narrated it. I found a video of it.
You did?
It's really something.
I'll look it up. When
You'll
I get
have
home.
To look it up. And in a slow, controlled voice, he described the disasters the world was probably about to face.
Really?
Really. And people bought this video. And I guess it gave tips for surviving.
Like, get a bunker or like
stuff
what?
Like that.
Really?
Food and stuff like what to do with your money and
did your
all kinds of stuff.
Did your parents do any preparing?
No, I don't remember
I don't
them
think
doing
my mom
anything.
Did it either.
So I don't think they were, if they were concerned, they must have just been like, well, it's outside our control.
I mean, my parents barely prepared for hurricanes. So like
an apocalyptic banking meltdown.
Like, we're fine.
We're fine. There were also Y2K survival kits for sale. Lots of companies
doing
this.
Yeah, I remember
this.
That.
You remember some of those?
Yeah.
It became a multi-million dollar industry.
Dang.
There was a company called Preparedness Resources that brought in $16 million by selling supply boxes. And these had dehydrated food, water purifiers, battery-free flashlights, blankets, and waterproof matches.
They still sell those. Right?
Yeah.
And
they had a no-return policy.
Of course.
On all the kits they sold.
Because it's like...
Because when they knew it wouldn't hit, like, everyone's going to try to, you know, return them. And then there was this whole crop of fiction.
Yeah.
That popped up.
Yep.
Mostly books, but some other things too. Apocalyptic scenarios, everything from ATMs eating your card and not giving it back to not being able to find gas to terrorists taking advantage. Mm-hmm. It was like this whole genre kind of overnight.
Yep.
And then it sort of fizzled out pretty quickly. So if you could have a bestseller during that little window, good for you.
You know what I want to know is like the people who did like for real prepare bunkers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how they felt the next day. Like, oh, well.
Well, I mean, positive side, you got a bunker if you need it for another
apocalypse.
Apocalyptic situation, right? I mean,
maybe they used it during the pandemic.
Maybe.
I
that
know.
That doesn't sound fun.
I know.
Maybe. Hey, if you had a bunker, seriously, no judgment.
I'm not throwing shade.
I would love to hear about it. I'd love to see pictures.
You know what I wonder too, Katie? Like, we were teenagers during that time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, teens don't have a full frontal lobe yet developed.
Oh, no.
So, like, you can't. It's like you literally can't think long term well.
Right.
Because your brain can't do it yet. Well, we were close, but not yet. Because I think it's like 22 or something. I'm not sure. But I wonder if we would have been adults, like parents at the time, if we would have, how we would have thought about it.
I totally agree.
You know, like we would have thought differently, I think.
I think so. And like, for example, if you have a lot of money in a kid's savings account for college,
right,
do you just leave it there?
Right.
Or are you like, well, maybe I'll just like cash it out for a couple days and put it back?
Correct.
You know, I mean, it sounds kind of like, oh, that's too far. But is it?
I know, because especially because I am like, I am an anxious person by nature. And I sometimes am a really great person to have in a situation like that because I am very prepared.
Yes.
But then also it's really bad because then my brain goes into spinning mode. So I'm wondering, like, I have a feeling if I would have been an adult, I would have been freaking out on New Year's Eve.
I bet I would have too.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't like overwhelming for me, I could see myself being like, as the countdown got closer, all of a sudden it hitting me.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, panic. If it's gonna panic. It's gonna happen, it's gonna happen now.
Yeah.
You know, all right.
Like, I would
go either way.
Not have been just chilling on a back porch like I was.
I would not have been worried about my dad picking me up to take me safely to my home.
But that cherry vodka. Where I could that made my stomach do a turn.
Peace. I'm so sorry. This is a bad day for that.
No, don't apologize. I deserve every second. Anyway,
did you have fun, Danny?
I did.
See,
I mean,
there you go.
I mean, you know,
these opportunities are few and far between. I feel like at our age,
they should,
you know?
As they should.
Thank
be.
Goodness, yeah. Thank as goodness. So here's some other like funny. I think they're funny little commercial sides of this. There were Y2K guardian angels. This
what?
Was a plush decoration for computers that would keep the bugs at bay. But they also had Y2K computer bug spray.
What?
It was compressed air or gas to clean computers and clocks. I don't know. How would that help? I don't know.
Do you have pictures of that? I'm going to have to Google
some. Not in here, but yeah, there were some where, when I looked these up. And then there were, of course, I don't know if you... I don't think I owned any of this, but like when you survived it.
Oh, yeah.
There's the I survived
Y2K.
Y2K.
Yeah.
There's the Bite Me Y2K, which was BYTE. Bite Me
okay,
Y2K.
That's funny.
There was one that I saw that was like Y2K debug. I don't know what that means. And then another one, all one word, why not 2K?
Oh, that's hilarious.
So we might have to find these just because they sound cool. So obviously, like, as we've covered, nothing majorly, all of the worldwide mass chaos and hysteria did not happen.
Right.
Very thankful for all the people and governments and money and businesses who made that right.
Props to the coders out there.
100%. There were some things that went wrong, though. There were some things that maybe just not on as wide of a scale. So here's one that I didn't know that kind of got me like, ooh, when I learned about it. After it turned the year 2000, U.S. spy satellites stopped working for 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. For like the first 3 days of
2000. That's a long time.
And it doesn't, it like 3 days, like, oh, 3 days. But that's a long
for
time
that to happen?
Not have the surveillance and what was going on in the world at the time and everything. So it turns out that it wasn't Y2K that was at fault.
Huh.
It was actually the technology patch to fix Y2K that didn't work correctly that caused a glitch in the system. And it took them 3 days to figure out what it was. And once they figured it out, they just reversed it.
God,
and
that
everything
must have
was
been
fine.
Another stressful job.
Can you imagine?
Nope.
3 days trying to figure that problem out? That's a long 3 days.
Yeah.
That's nuts. And but there's still 3 missing days of surveillance like that we'll never have.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
What if that's when aliens came and we just don't know?
Maybe. Could have been. So then sort of a lesser scale, unless you are this person, a person got charged $91,000 for a late fee for a video.
See, I told you it was a lot.
It is a lot. It adds up. Renting, do you even remember this movie, The General's Daughter?
Who was in it?
It was a John Travolta one. It was a 1999 military thriller.
I do vaguely remember that.
It didn't do very well in the box office or for rentals. But a guy in New York, it was late, but the glitch reported that the copy of the tape was 100 years overdue.
Yeah.
Because it said it was due like 1900 or something like that. So he had a bill for $91,250. But the problem was quickly fixed. And the customer was given a free video rental for his troubles. So that was one. Also, a huge, one of the bigger problems with the Y2K was computers had trouble recognizing people's real ages.
Oh.
So they were adding 100 years to a lot of ages. So the in Denmark, the country's first millennium baby got an auspicious start to life when the hospital's computers registered it as a 100-year-old newborn baby. And that there's like lots of stories.
What was that movie,
like that.
Benjamin Button, where he ages backwards?
Exactly. Exactly like that. So there was that one. There was another guy who in Germany became basically a millionaire because of a bank glitch.
Oh.
But the money got taken back. So it didn't last that long.
Boo. Oh, that would be
But
so
his bank
sad.
Account was just randomly credited for about $6 million.
Ooh.
And because of the transaction, the bank thinking it happened on December 31st, 1899. So it was some sort of like interest situation.
Crazy.
Over 100 years. Yeah. So basically, like, they had to take the money back, but that's what happened there.
That would be so sad to see your bank account and be like,
it's like $6 million. Oh, and it's gone.
Oh, bye.
Yeah. And so there were other ones too, like some smaller issues involving banks, hospitals, transit authorities, but most were just like temporary things that they were able to fix. And then Hotmail. Remember Hotmail? Where's all our Hotmail users out there? There's so many of you.
Yeah.
There was at least, I think it was Amanda.
Oh, yeah.
And Troy. Right. Troy at Hotmail. Yeah. Don't forget.
Oh, actually, he said it's not Hotmail. It's MSN.
Oh, okay.
But I thought that was the same thing. But whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll correct myself.
Well,
sorry,
Hotmail
honey.
Was displaying the year as 3900 for a few hours, which, again, it's like there's kind of not a rhyme or reason to the things that were going wrong. Some were going back 100 years. Some were going forward 100
that's
years.
So weird.
3900 has nothing to do with anything, but maybe that's the point. Like computers were just grasping for like what are the first two digits and just grabbing things. I don't know. God,
that's hilarious.
So those were kind of the worst things that happened with it. Other than, you know, potentially people spending a lot on survival kits and bunkers and et cetera. But overall, I think what I didn't realize as teenager brain was that, I mean, I don't think I ever thought enough about it to be like, oh, it was a hoax. But I also just kind of thought, yeah, it really wasn't a big
Same.
Deal.
Yeah.
And then when I started reading some of this, I was like, ooh.
Oh, it kind of was a big deal.
Yeah, like if I had been, and also you have to think, you said the thing about if I was a parent.
Right.
But also I wonder how much they knew. I guess, hey, if you're our parents' generation, you want to weigh in on this, were you scared? Or how much information did they even have?
I'm curious. Also, like, you got to remember too, in 1999, we did not have information at our fingertips as readily as we do now with our phones.
That's what I mean.
Like, yeah.
So maybe people were sort of in the dark.
That's what
Or just like, oh, the media is hyping it up.
Right.
It's probably not a big deal.
I'm pretty sure that's how my parents were. I'm pretty sure.
I think mine too. Because I think they would have prepared more. Or maybe they did behind the scenes that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Dad, if you're listening, I'll have to ask you.
Yeah, I'll have to ask my stepdad about that now. We'll have to do a circle back once we talk to them. Because I think he was still... Yeah, he... owned a pharmacy at the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering from a business standpoint, I was not concerned about my stepdad's business when I was 19 because I was a selfish teenager.
Of course. Yeah.
So, but I wonder how he.
Yeah. Because a pharmacy crosses so many of those lines. Uh-huh. It's got the insurance side.
Yeah.
It's got the personal information and medical information of your, your clientele. Plus the financial side, and there's a lot of moving parts there.
Yeah, I'll
that have probably to ask him. Connect to different systems too.
Yeah,
that's a lot. That. Yeah,
you ask your dad, I'll ask mine.
I will. My dad was in construction, a general contractor, and I'm pretty sure was handwriting mostly everything at that point.
Yeah.
So, he still does, I think, for a lot of his things, which there's nothing wrong with that.
I handwrite receipts.
Yeah. I know you do.
I know.
I love that about you.
I do.
I keep my little handwritten receipts.
I do it just because I do the carbon copies even. Like, I'm so old school. But I just like to have the record of it. But anyway.
It's good to have a paper record for sure.
Random.
Well, that is all I have on YT2K.
Interesting.
Just a little flashback, but I'm interested to hear from you listeners if you have a New Year's Eve 1999 story for us, or if you were a parent at the time or a grandparent and want to share kind of how you prepped, or if you were born after this and just learned something new today that you want to tell us about, or even whatever your perception was. We would probably get a good little giggle out of that.
I know,
depending what it was,
like, what if you, like, because if you don't know about it and it's just like history to you,
right? Which is wild.
but the
case with some of you.
Yes,
but anywho, so thanks for listening to Generation In Between, a Zennial podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share us with your friends of all generations. Leave us a positive review wherever you listen to podcasts. Come on over to Patreon. We've got some new bonus episodes going up soon. Become a monthly supporter just for $8 a month, and you'll have access to those episodes and some other perks. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
sorry, everyone.
That wasn't me this time.
Wow. That was just a little baby burp. It's okay. I was trying to breathe and talk at the same time. It didn't work out for me.
It's hard
to breathe and talk. And until next time, don't get bitten by the Y2K bug or any others.
Cute.
We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.